And now we're going to Elsa's palace because we're in Kingdom Hearts again.
Pauline's there. That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, you think it'd be awkward.
Yeah. His hair looks nice, actually, though.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Brad. His hair looks so nice. Like, I worked really hard on this. Why are you ruining it, Mario? I'm just saying that it's a nice suit, and I like the outfit. That's what I'm saying. But
Bowser cleans up real good.
He's still an asshole. Even in video games, consent is key here. Come on, my dude.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Need for Speed Running, a podcast with friends talking about games going really, really fast. My name is Ruby Hart, and I am one of your hosts here at Need for Speed Running, and I'm so glad to be here with many of my wonderful friends. So I'm going to start off by saying, hey, Brad, how's it going?
Ah, heck, thanks for asking, Ruby. I'm doing very well. I am, of course, Brad. I play the less informed, kind of fun, devil may care, roguish type on this podcast. I might not know what we're talking about, but I'm having a good time about it.
Yes, we love that attitude. And another one of our amazing hosts, Jay Hobbs.
Hello. Hi. I'm Hobbs, and I play the elderly mage, the wise and grizzled veteran who is sick of everything at this point because they're jaded, but they sure will still be able to tell you everything about the world that you need to know.
And of course, I am the bard rounding off this party with ukulele always in hand, ready to inspire my fellow teammates.
I'm the old man who's bad with technology, so I don't really bring anything to the party.
And Luigi, our final host.
We may be joined on and off by Luigi's underscore, wait, scene loading apartment. Unfortunately, he's experiencing some internet difficulties.
The new apartment does not have great internet, so I am here as much as possible.
To catch everyone up listening, we've had minor technical difficulties before, and we assuredly might have some again in the future. But we're going to re-say probably some of the things that we said, such as, Ruby, what's going on with you lately?
Yeah, so a few things. My partner just got a house, so we're going to be moving into like a bigger space, which is really exciting.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so there will be room for like Onyx, my cat, to have a room just all to herself, for me to have a nice big streaming space and space to play Dance Dance Revolution, which I still have my old metal DDR mats and I want to start using them for exercise. And I also, as of 2 weeks ago, started learning my next speedrun game, Titan Souls, and already have gone from being super low on the chart to 31st out of the like 100 plus people who have submitted all bosses. So that's really fun and exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real cool run.
Titan Souls is cool. Pretty much any game, I want to say Zik 3 runs that, if I remember correctly. I think that's how I'm familiar with it. Mm-hmm. Any game Zik runs is like... Yeah, that's a fun run. It's got good like stuff going for it.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, so Zik's videos, he made a tutorial set of videos for Titan Souls, and that's what I've been using as my main resource. And I found out that a few of the next games that I'm looking at, so like Super Hot is one that I'm looking at because it has really fun like movement and really interesting physics. He also runs that. So it seems like we have very similar taste in speed runs. Yeah, so that's what's going on in my life. What about you, Brad? What are you up to?
Well, lately I just got done with the Midwest Gaming Classic this last weekend, which is a very big retro gaming convention here in Milwaukee. Was fortunate enough to be a guest on one of my favorite podcasts, Bonfireside Chat. If you're in the Soulsborne community, I did make sure to shout out Need for Speed Running at the end of my little interview. But if you're looking for that, it'll probably come out in about a month on their Patreon. So that's a ways out. But that was super exciting. I love those guys. Got to see a lot of wonderful friends. As far as pickups, I got a complete in-box NES Tetris, which makes me very warm and fuzzy.
Tengen or regular?
Regular. The Tengen I looked for, it's $100 out of the box. They did pull that one.
Oh, my God.
Because Maxwell didn't actually have the rights to be selling it.
It is illegal.
It was straight up illegal in many ways. And besides that, I got some board games. I got an Addams Family board game based on the original film. Ooh. It looks like Monopoly. Very excited about that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And I got a Fast and the Furious meets Cthulhu board game called the Fast and Fatagan. And I don't know anything about it other than it's a racing game about Cthulhoid race cars. So I'm excited to check it out.
That's delightful.
Yeah, they always have 50% off board games because they bring in all their like dents or like minorly damaged ones that they don't want to sell in store. So I just go to town and I bought like a Lord of the Rings dice building game as well. Besides that, I play a lot of Elden Ring. I'm trying to wean myself off of it.
Don't ever change.
Some babies don't want to get off the bottle, and I will just be enjoying my Elden Ring as long as I can. So that's kind of where I've been lately.
That sounds like a really, really good place to be, honestly. And yeah. I'm a big board game nerd, too. So anytime I can find like those on sale board games, I want to. That's smart. What about you, Hobbs? What are you up to nowadays?
So I talked about it some on our Pit Stop episode, but we wrapped up PAX East pretty recently. Mm-hmm. That was a fun time. It was good. It was very exhausting, but it was very nice as well. And importantly, I purchased a Tunic hoodie while I was there.
Ooh.
It is not only like one of the best pieces of clothing I now own. Like it is just actually a really well made like hoodie. I'm very excited about it. But also I noticed something on the back, and I think there might be a secret in the game I need to go find now because of this freaking hoodie.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's slightly out of arm's reach, or I would show you right now. But it is, you know what? Fuck it. I'm grabbing it. One sec.
Do it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So for the audio experience, you're not going to be able to get a ton out of this. But basically, there's a design on the back. And if you've played Tunic, you know that there are certain markers in the game that provide context clues as to there being the existence of a secret. And one of them is something I'm pointing at right now on camera on this thing. And it is a big, like, massive design that I'm very curious how I'm going to end up going and figuring out exactly what the secret is, but I got to do it at some point. And it's just a real quality thing. Shout outs to Finji, who had a booth there, and they are like just super great. But yeah, PAX is good. Boston's good. I'm excited to be home for like just a little bit. For now, I don't have to travel until SGDQ really, outside of just, you know, visiting some friends and stuff. So it's like, It's kind of nice. I love traveling. I love going and doing events, but it's whenever you get kind of a few in a row and it feels like you can't really get grounded and like get a schedule going again. It's nice to occasionally, you know, have that happen.
Yeah, just take a deep breath and be home for a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the kind of person where I'm like, I love going and doing all this stuff, but I could never be one of those people that's like, all right, I'm traveling to Australia, and then I'm going from there after 8 days, I'm heading to Japan, and then I'm going from there over to Europe, and I'm going to go hit a different country every 3 days or something. I'm like, that's too exhausting. I go somewhere, I'm there, I come home, and I need my decompress, like, home time for a bit. So I'm excited to have that. It's very, very fun. Very good.
Yeah, absolutely. And Luigi, what are you up to right now?
Lots of vampire surviving and then driving fast cars in Forza.
God, Vampire Survivors. That sure was such a three days for me or something.
I was very happy for the game that finally like broke through after those 3 days where I could do nothing but think about that game. Yeah. And like I forget what it was that broke the spell, but like I still play it, but just not constantly. I've gotten better.
I've seen people playing Vampire Survivors, and I know that if you're playing it on stream, there's an element where chat can kind of contribute to what's mm-hmm. happening. But whenever I look at it, it just looks like so much happening on the screen that I don't actually understand it. So for you yeah. who have played it, like Luigi, can you pitch me what it is as someone who has no fucking clue?
My Zelda co-host he said something very salient the other day and was like, it's a game about trying to achieve Nirvana. You're true. Trying to gather all of your materials and the right things and like your build and achieve a state where you don't really have to like be anymore. You can just annihilate.
Yeah, ultimately, it's an idol game.
It involves garlic and spell books is what that involves.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think they nerfed the Santa water, too, because when I was playing, it was before the 1.0 release, I think, and that was OP. But basically, it is an idol game at the end of the day. Like, there's very minimal input from you to play it. You just move the analog stick around. And otherwise, you just make decisions on a menu, which is what Twitch chat helps with.
Basically, what you're looking at, you don't need to process much. If things don't immediately die, you want to move away from them. That's about it.
Yeah.
Then the items will come into it as you play more. But yeah. Just annihilate. Okay.
Like all other idle games, it is really just an Excel spreadsheet. And it's just all about watching number go up. And if number keep going up, then game fun, because that's what every idle game is. It's just an Excel spreadsheet, but in visual form. And it's still just that, but it sure is a fun one. It's a really fun Excel spreadsheet.
It keeps giving. There's just more music, more characters, more weapons, more levels, more enemies that are weird and different, more hidden things. It just keeps giving and giving. It's just wonderful in that way.
Okay, so the only idle game, the only one that I've really actually played and had fun with was Universal Paperclips. It's basically a web-based one, and at first it's just like, click, you made a paperclip, yay. But actually it is an AI that's slowly learning that you want to keep producing more and more paperclips and finds out how to fully take apart matter and space-time and humans in order to turn them into paperclips until you use up all the materials in the universe. Hence why it's called Universal Paperclips.
Just rearrange atoms, then why not make more paperclips?
It felt like I was playing an idle game mixed with the creepypasta, because the first time it says, like, take apart X amount of humans, you're like, what? Excuse me, game? But it's a really cool one.
Think of it as Katamari and you're fine.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad, way of thinking about it either.
First time I was playing Katamari and I just rolled up somebody named Bob, I felt bad about it. Then I was super excited. Ah,
fuck Bob.
Well, once they started having individual names, like, oh, hi.
Or in Donut County, when you just see them all fall in the hole and go, what's happening? What have they done to these people? Don't
think about it. Just look at the raccoon. It'll be fine.
And in the world of speedrunning, I know that when we're recording this now, it's not out. But by the time it releases, it will be. The GDQ games list out April 4th, which is super exciting. So if you are looking forward to Games Done Quick this year, it is from, Hobbs, correct me if I'm wrong on the dates, May 28th to June 4th.
It sounds about right.
Yeah. So if you want to check out SGDQ this year, the games list, by the time this is out, will be out. So check out gamesdonequick.com and you can see all of the awesome runs that are going to be a part of it. The games committee does a really great job of picking just some insane game showcases and new speed runs, classic speed runs. So I'm really pumped about seeing that list.
Yeah. I've gotten to see it as a staff member, and it slaps. It's great. It's really good.
Do you have any predictions on what might be on the list?
Oh, yeah. I can give you about 116 guesses. I have no idea how many runs are on it. For the record, that number was thrown out of thin
air. If it's 116, you're in trouble.
Yeah. But no, all I could say is I absolutely love the schedule. I love the list, and I think it's going to be like an amazing time. I think it's going to be super fun. A lot of really fun choices on there.
All right. Well, we all know the Bubsy block will be great. So
yeah, naturally. Only Bubsy to be run Tuesday. By
I really hope that super obscure Skittles game makes it. That would be great. Oh, no, the Smarties meltdown years. Or whatever it's called.
I was going to say, we've definitely already done the Skittles one before.
Oh,
the
nice.
The adventure game? The what is that? Yeah, that thing
yeah,
is
I'm
weird.
Trying to remember. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I want to say it's like Shadow something or whatever. But like, yeah,
Skittles
I know,
of the
I
Colossus.
I know it's been in GDQ. Shadow of the Colossus, yeah. That's
no, right. Skittles of the Colossus.
Wait, why have I not been running this game? That sounds amazing.
No, it's not that. It's like a bad Zelda game or something.
Darkened Sky. That's the one I was
Darkened
thinking of.
Sky.
Yeah.
So on an old show I used to do with the same co-hosts, twice a year we would take over the show during GDQ time, and my one co-host who didn't care would just sit in the corner while we for like an hour. And he heard us talking about Darkened Sky. Like, we were talking about it, but we didn't bring up its name. And, like, from the corner, from his Switch, was like, wait, are you talking about that garbage Skittles game? Like, how do you know this? He plays the weirdest stuff. It's fine.
Yeah, that I know that one's been in before.
Is it Skittles Darkened Sky or just
nope.
Darkened?
It's called Darkened Sky,
that
S-K-Y-E.
Sounds like a badass fantasy game. And then people getting in and finding out it's a Skittles game must have been so disappointed.
It sure thinks it's a badass fantasy game.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. It was in some old, I'll look up which GDQ it was, but it was definitely in some old awful block.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was, of course Liz ran it. Liz Star ran it at AGDQ 2020.
Of course, she did.
Then also had it at Frost Fatales 2020, which with a learning with Liz is the name of the category. So I have a feeling that was probably some kind of tutorial showcase or something.
Yeah. Everybody's asking for it.
Yeah. That's freaking delightful.
I'm very excited to check out the list because we plan on being there for 3 days, three full days. And I'm really just hoping all the ones that I want to see fall onto my little like island of time there. So I am on the edge of my seat.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So yeah. Brad's going to be there 3 days. I know Hobbs and I will be there all week. And Luigi, I think you said you were still in the air for GDQ, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, if you're a listener of the podcast, we may also be doing a panel, but we're still waiting to hear on that. But if you see us at GDQ, like, please feel free to say hi, pull us aside. Yeah. We've all said in the past, we're happy to talk to people and be able to say hello, give a hug, etc. So, yeah, please feel free to find us. And I'm going to do a segue here really quick and say there's one game that I've seen appearing in speedrun marathons a lot more over the course of the past few years. We do have a family member of the protagonist of this game here with us. So and with the movie coming out this week, it only feels appropriate that for this week's speedrun,
we tackle WarioWare for the Wii. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Starring John Leguizamo.
No, we're actually going to be diving into Super Mario Odyssey this week. Any percent Wahoo. One player, I believe, is the category we were looking at. The speed run is about 56 minutes for the world record. Does anyone have SRC up for the exact time on that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. 56 minutes, 51 seconds by Tyrone 18, I believe.
3 days ago.
Tyrone or Tyron. 3 days ago at time of recording. So maybe it'll be different by the time this comes out, which I believe happened to us recently.
It very much did for Elden Ring.
Oh, that's awesome.
I believe it had been beaten even, we didn't know it. It hadn't been verified yet, but I'm pretty sure it got beaten by the runner before we watched it. So it was already obsolete.
That's insane that it moved that fast.
And it was 6 days from we thought it was 6 days old at the time, so or something like that, I think.
Yep, and they had already improved it. But with Super Mario Odyssey, like, it's unbelievable to see So this is it is between this and Super Mario 64 for probably the biggest speed games of all time. Like I if we sort by like active runners or by or not by active runners, but by like total runners, no. I don't know which one has which beat.
We don't need the sunshine people coming after us, but
of course not. I'm actually going to see if I can sort by most players. Okay, well, all right. Subway Surfers and Minecraft still have it beaten, but it looks like Super Mario 64 still has the edge over Odyssey on most players and most runs. So it is still awesome 64 way up there, but like Odyssey for a while had like most active on speedrun.com after its release for quite a while.
This game got run at the demo kiosk before it came out. Yeah. There were like over the shoulder camera phone recordings, I was fucking there, man. I was like, oh my God. Oh my, cause I'd already played the demo, of course. And so like when someone was like, you know, they're already speedrunning it, just like, let's fucking go. Like, let's do this. This is, yes.
Yeah.
That's incredible that people immediately hit the ground running. Now, how many people here have actually played Super Mario Odyssey? Like, I don't know if anyone here speedruns it, but just like, Brad, what's your experience with this game?
I love Mario Odyssey. I have definitely beaten it. I did all the moons. I haven't 100%ed it because that involves all the costumes. I don't think I have all the costumes, but beautiful game. Inventive game, innovative game. I've never giggled and laughed as much at a Mario game as this one. When you turn into a tree or a sewer grate, I was like, come on, you can't do that. And then you did. And then Mario's like going through New Donk City. And it's joyous in the ways that only Nintendo knows how to do. And the fact that they're still able to make Mario games exciting, fun, and weird is very impressive to me. They have a bag of tricks that never seems to end. So I love the game. Yes.
Heck yeah. And now I feel like the family member is the next person we should go to. Luigi, how do you feel about your brother's game?
So, well, I wasn't, Luigi wasn't in it. So that's a big problem.
Didn't call Galaxy's you? Now. He's in it now.
Galaxy's still better.
He's
balloons
he's in
don't
now.
Count. Balloons don't count. Yeah,
balloons count. Balloon World's
no,
fun.
They don't.
Balloon That's World's correct. Great.
They just why did now they're just literally hanging him in front of me. Like you can look what you can't play as the you know, whatever. Anyway, I love this game. You know, it came out the same year as Breath of the Wild, and so I had a launch Switch and it was like starting to fall apart. The plastic fan was like hitting stuff. But I couldn't send it in because that meant I would be without Breath of the Wild for a week. And it was like, everyone was just like, they'll fix it for free. And I'm like, I don't care. I can't get rid of this. I cannot be apart from this. A few weeks before Odyssey came out, I was like, okay, fine. I'll fix this. I'm going to need to be ready for Odyssey. And then I just took a break from Breath of the Wild for a month and just clean demolished it 100%, got everything. Did the jump rope, did everything I possibly could, and was like, that was an amazing game, and I would give it game of the year. If I wasn't for the game, I'm immediately going to go back to playing now. So
that's incredible. Oh, God. Before we get into my experience, because I have some thoughts here, which it's going to be interesting talking about that. Hobbs, what's your experience with this game? How do you feel about Odyssey?
So I played this. This game is why I got a Switch. I originally wasn't going to get one. I didn't play Breath of the Wild or anything, and ended up getting one so that I could get this game, like, I think, like, right on release, day.
Nice.
So I actually have like Mario, my Switch is technically like a Mario theme because they're both red Joy-Cons. But
did you get the stupid coin?
No, I didn't get the coin. But okay. It came in like a case, a carry case thing. But this, like when this game came out, it was a moment in speedrunning. Like in the same way that like there are a few records of some really notable games or some really big runs, like blindfolded Mike Tyson's Punch-Out from SGDQ. What was that, like 20, 2014 or something. Or 13
oh, that's
or
a whatever, great whatever run. Yes.
Like
yeah.
That, 2014. Like we've covered that on our like speed runs through history series because it is a moment in speed run.
We talked to them.
Yeah, exactly. This game, what the release of this game was a moment in speedrunning. I loved playing this game casually. It, the way I like played it, normally when I end up playing a game, especially a game that I'm streaming, I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to learn really anything. I just want to like play it and have my experience yeah. with it and find what I find, all that kind of good shit. But something about this game put me in such a like old elementary school or like middle school kind of like mood of discovery where I was just like, hey, like my friends like, hey, newbie, you want to just like sit in a call where we're both just like playing the game and geeking out over the random shit we find like throughout this game, because it was so charming, right? Like you head around through Wooded Kingdom and you just like find the nut around the corner and you're like, what? Like what? That's silly. What a name for a moon. And then you just go like down into deep woods and capture a T-Rex and stuff like that. So it's just, I don't know. We were having so much fun with it. And then as soon as I kind of finished it, and I actually don't think I've ever gotten all the moons in this game, but when I kind of beat the game and I had collected, you know, a good chunk of stuff, and I was still having fun doing it casually, but I kind of wanted to like get into just playing it again and doing runs because the movement felt so good. That was when like it was just, it was such a fun time. I probably did runs of it for like 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks maybe, and literally I would learn like what the route was, learn the run. I would go do a run on stream and then I would finish and turn to my chat and be like, all right, chat, what's the new Metro Kingdom route? What's the new Metro route? Because there would be a new one by the end of my run.
Are
because
you
people
kidding?
Were constantly, right. constantly rerouting everything because there's so many moons and they were still finding them. Like the bench friends wasn't originally in the route. And that's a moon where you sit on a bench and you get a moon. So it's like,
yeah,
that because people didn't know it existed right away. So it was so fun because it was just like a, yeah, it was just a period of discovery for this game, like over and over. And it felt like nobody was quite at that like super high skill level yet, or nobody had everything figured out. So you could pitch an idea and be like, maybe it would be a good idea. So like there was a time where I was like, I wanted us in Luncheon Kingdom. I was like, we've got a pretty good route here, but it involves a few things with some kind of longer cutscenes. And so I think that the faster way is going to be able to skip the meat multi-moon and skip the cheese rocks, because those have like some longer cutscenes.
Let's take a moment to acknowledge he just said meat multi-moon and cheese rocks.
Yes.
Back to what you were saying.
And the next the best part is that if we got to skip the meat and the cheese, I called it the vegan route.
That's great.
And at the time I was like, I'm not good enough at this game yet, but here's an idea. Can somebody who's really good at the movement try this and time it and see if it's like faster? Because I think for me, it probably isn't.
I'm not
faster,
strong enough. I can't say no to meat.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time they were like, it's not. And then later, years later, I believe vegan route finally became like faster because they found other ways to do stuff. And I was like, hell yeah, I knew it. I was like, we're not fast enough at this yet, but I guarantee this is going to be what ends up happening. So
that's
just a lot of moments like that for this game where it was, I was streaming. I think I streamed 70 hours the week this game came out because I was just streaming like 9+ hours a day and absolutely loving it and having fun. And it's always a good time when a game like grips you to the point where you wake up and you're just like, I want to play the game. I got to play the game now.
Yeah.
I have a lot of problems with a lot of stuff Nintendo does and a lot of like decisions they made recently and stuff. Like just a lot of, you know, lack of awareness for accessibility features in their games a lot of the time and stuff like that. But goddamn, can they still make a good 3D Mario? Like I can't fault them there. Like this game is, it's between this and Galaxy, but this game is probably like, I think the best 3D Mario game of all time. It's a hard, like, it's kind of hard to argue that it isn't in my opinion.
It's really hard to not. Yeah. Yeah. I think I got to the end of it. The whole time I was going, is this better or worse? Is it better than Galaxy or, you know, which one's better the entire time?
and like finally at the end was like, yeah, I'm sorry. It just is. It's just the best.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know. There's something about this game where like there's so much downtime that I was like, maybe this is just kind of ho-hum sometimes or whatever. Like, maybe this isn't the best one. And then my mind would get exploded by something that happened. And I'm just like, there's just the highs are so high.
I agree. It's incredible.
I think that the highs are so incredibly great. But there are points, though, where I do become a little bored. I think it has a very weak opening. But the big moments outshine any of the negativity. I'm very curious, though, to hear, Ruby, your thoughts.
Yeah, me too.
You might have controversial opinions, I think.
This sounds like a real cool game. That's a way to start.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I have played through all of the like original on the Game Boy Super Mario Brothers. I've played a bunch of Mario Party and a bunch of the Mario Racing games. So like my big Mario experience that I connected with was Super Mario or Mario Kart 64. So my dad was always really busy with work, but when he found one video game that he actually really liked playing, every day when he would get home from work for like a year or two, he got so good at the game that we were actually on level, and I was used to being way better at video games than my friends. Right. So like I didn't have competition. So we made Yoshi like our trophy character, and whoever won the last time we did a tournament would get to use Yoshi and just be able to rub it in the other person's face until they could take it back.
That was my dad with the tanks game in Wii Play, like the, really? The Wii Play video game is the takes game that took over a Thanksgiving one time for my dad and my uncle. But anyways, please continue.
No, that's incredible. I love it. Yeah. So that was something very similar vibe of like, he wanted to bond with me. He finally found a game that he liked. But when I tried to play Super Mario 64, when I tried to play Galaxy, every single time something glitchy or horrible tech-wise went wrong. So with Super Mario 64, as a kid, I got all the way up to the lava level. And the first time I tried to jump into the painting, you know, Mario got stuck in the wall and just the sound got stuck. So it was just on loop.
Totally believe
of
it.
Him being stuck in. And I was like,
Discord
oh, God.
Is saving us from that noise, but it will not save our listeners from that noise.
Feel free to bring down the volume on that one. Sorry, I tried to make it soft, but it did not work. You can't really make that noise without it having some oomph to it. Anyway, and then when I turned off the N64 and turned it back on, it had glitched the game, so I wasn't on the main menu. I was just suddenly in the lava world, but only a tiny little platform had spawned. So it was just me on this little platform way out in the distance, a platform with a bomb bomb, and the rest, nothing but lava. And that's all that would load.
People's minds, you know, SM64 players are probably like wondering what the heck you did and had to recreate.
I'm wondering what the hell happened, yeah.
Because I believe it, because that game is garbage.
Yeah, like, I 100%
believe
it.
It's amazing, but it's terribly constructed at times. Well, yeah, so I believe it.
Yeah, and for a kid who like I'd only fully finished start to finish a few video games, and I had gotten so far in this game, and then all my data was just lost because it wouldn't load. Yeah. I was real bitter. Years later, I finally get Galaxy because I hear it's great. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna try this. I get three different versions of the disc from three different game stores, and every single one of them don't work or stop about an hour through.
No.
So Odyssey, I've heard is amazing. I really want to play it. I have it, but there's something in my head that's like, if I touch it, it might just break and die.
If you touch
and
it, you will curse your Switch forever.
Exactly. Like, there's something in my head I can't get past because I want to play it, and it sounds really fun. And what y'all have said, it's like all new information, and I'm loving it, but I don't want the curse of my Mario experiences to pass on to my Switch.
Yeah.
Well, the great thing about Galaxy and Odyssey is that you can play them with the second person just kind of hanging out helping you, you know? So you don't have to be player one. Just get star bits or move Cappy around.
You get someone else to start the game for you, and then
the curse will pass on to them.
Or, you know what? I might just, now that I know that it's a two-player game, I might just say to my partner, hey, do we want to play Super Mario Odyssey? Like... Mm.
Sure.
Yeah.
We got a sure.
I played through all of Galaxy the first time with a second person just hanging out.
Just shooting
star bits. Shooting, you know, holding bad guys in place and stuff. Yeah, it was fun.
Occasionally shooting Mario and causing you to get stunned.
No, shoot that thing. No.
What is super special about Mario games, 3D games? The movement is just always so refined and considered. And that's one of the reasons I really like watching speedruns of Mario and the rest of the entire planet. They do as well. Because it is some of the most refined jumping and other verbs. There's a lot of other verbs in Mario games, but it all comes from the jump and then how you integrate that into all of the move tech. And I think Cappy is a gorgeous addition into all of the tech in this game.
Yeah.
I don't understand it all, but I'm always excited.
I absolutely agree. And I think that is honestly part of what seems to be like the core, like part of the core essence of 3D Mario's core language of it is just like this variety of movement and this really absolutely solid platforming. And obviously they tended to go with like, oh, here is one gimmick that we built the entire game around, which like it's flood and sunshine. It's it's really gravity, but also you could say the star bits or something in Galaxy 1 and 2. And then in Odyssey, it's obviously Cappy. But even like the first, like even SM64, you could say in a way it's the 3D camera itself. But
yeah,
like that what you're totally right, Brad, in that it's like that core just like essence of these games really does come down to all of those movement options available to you to tackle all this platforming. Because even if you like looked at SM64 and you counted all of the like different animations that Mario has for different movements and stuff, and it's like actually kind of a staggering number for the time when that came out. I was recently watching
he just sat in a room. They just had him in a room for months figuring it all out.
Just making it all good.
It was just Mario in a white room or something.
Yeah, because I was recently watching a documentary about Psychonauts 2, and they also had some stuff from Psychonauts 1. And there are times where they're like literally looking at SM64 going, how did they do all of these things? Why did they do all of these things and stuff? And I think it's why those games have so much staying power for speedrunning. It's not just the nostalgia and the popularity, though I do think that carries them a lot as well. Part of it is just, it will still always feel good to get better at speedrunning, better at moving Mario in all of these games.
Yeah, like Mario himself is a toolbox. Like the combinations of things you can get him to do in a game are themselves your tools.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch this run. I also, just from watching Mario games and playing a bunch of the others, I love kind of like what you were saying earlier, how charming and bright these worlds are. So they're just so much fun to look at and explore. So really excited to see more of Odyssey. Do we think it's time to dive into the run? Because I'm super curious. And since you have the speedrun knowledge, Hobbs, I'm sure that this will be really interesting to hear about how everything breaks down.
Yeah, because I know about a number of the skips and a lot of the movement tech. I'm not going to be able to catch everything, but that's also partially because, like when we covered SM64, you can look at a 4-second stretch of movement and spend 25 minutes talking about it. So
yeah,
I'll do my best, but there's a whole lot of great stuff.
I know
stuff
a lot about T-Rexes as well. That might
yes,
might
that's
help.
True.
Yeah.
Looking forward
if,
to hearing
if you don't know, there's a T-Rex, Ruby. I'm not sure.
So I didn't know. And then y'all mentioned the T-Rex earlier and so many other things. And like, you can become a tree and a pothole. And I was like, what? Go on. It sounds as bonkers as the milkman level in Psychonauts.
Yeah.
And I'm so fascinated to see how it actually comes into play.
This is going to be fun because there are just a number of mind-blowing fun things in this game. And so, yeah, that'll be nice. I'll keep some things back. I do want to ask Hobbs, how much of it, like a big, one of the reasons why I never got into speed running this game, even from the beginning, was the motion controls seemed to be ways to get stuff faster.
Right.
And I don't understand them. And I played in handheld mode. So,
part of your problem.
There's a lot of that.
But. Yeah. No, that is honestly, if I had to leverage like one of the single biggest gripes against this game, it's like, why did you not just put the option to take these motion controls and put them on a button instead? They have spare buttons. There's like no reason you couldn't do it. And they just don't because that's Nintendo. That's kind of what I was hinting at with my gripes with them on accessibility features and other stuff. There's going to be a whole lot of furious shaking from the runner at specific points in this run because it is indeed faster to use motion controls in a few spots and shake the controller.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes Cappy will just disappear and like, how did he? Don't worry, he threw the remote on the ground. You know, he stepped on him or something.
There are some tricks that are actually you can only do if you're using Joy-Cons because you can't do an up throw with the you can't do a down throw with the pro controller. You have to do a ground pound and then shake to do like a down throw. Whereas with Joy-Cons, you could just down throw whenever you want. It's weird. It's dumb. But yeah, that's the case.
I'm very curious to see the runner on camera just shaking it furiously and me trying to track both screens of the gameplay and their movement. I feel like either way, it's going to be entertaining.
I'll point him out for you.
All right, well, I think it's time to dive into the run, gang. So for our listeners, here's how it works. We are going to take a little bit of a break here in our podcast. And for the Patreon listeners, while we're watching the run, we're going to pull it up. We'll drop the link in the Discord Patreon page, excuse me. So if you want to watch that alongside with us, then you absolutely can just pull it right up. And if you want to be one of the people who gets access to that content, along with being able to watch the live recordings and so much more, definitely join our Patreon at patreon.com/possiblybad. And if you join in on those tiers or become one of our executive producers or so many more tiers, please take a look. Then you get a chance to listen to that content of us watching the runs and panicking and freaking out and having a great time. Otherwise, for those of you just listening on the podcast, we will see you back here after the break.
Enjoy the music to Steam Gardens, because that's totally what's going to be playing.
To give a quick shout out to all of our executive producers. If you want to be executive producer of the show, then all you got to do is go over to patreon.com/possiblybad and subscribe at the probably badass tier. We really appreciate the support. So thank you to Lisa Slack, Cassandra Lenhart, Brian Ward, Hylian Gamer 01, Professor Hal, Tom Mangar, and of course Ethan King, currently viewing live. Thanks a lot.
Hope you had a good break, and for those of you who are part of our Patreon, we hope you enjoyed listening and watching that run with us. I had a freaking blast. I know that I've never played this game before or Mario platformers, but it did not disappoint. I feel like half the time I was trying to figure out generally how the game works, and half the time I was trying to figure out what they were doing. Hobbs, how do you feel about it now that it has a new route and things look so different from when you started speedrunning it?
Yeah, I feel like I talked a lot during that one. Because
you did.
It's another one of those games. It's like when we watch like Ratchet Click Up Your Arsenal or things like that, where I'm just like, there's just so much going on. I want to convey as much of the skill here as possible. But also, if I go too far, like we will have to start pausing. And it is unbelievable the development that this game has gone through, because even from the get-go, like we knew that there was going to be a lot of really great movement. Like immediately, you know, when you start like throwing Cappy out and then you're like, wait, I can hold the button and he'll stay there. Wait, I can dive onto him and I'll bounce off of Cappy so I can get more height, more distance.
An entirely different jump.
Yeah, I can then throw him again and dive again so I can keep like close, you know. We knew immediately, we're like, we're going to be able to really jump grand distances. Mm-hmm. But to see the way that that has all evolved over time to be like, they're using more motion controlled throws than ever before. Like they're using spin, like side throws, like spin throws and stuff like that. Up throws all the time. That's all stuff that like we maybe barely used here and there. The biggest thing was, I mentioned it in our recording, but like when I saw somebody do a spin jump ground pound to start a roll for the first time a few weeks after the game had like been out, maybe a month, I was like, this person is doing, they're on another level from mm-hmm. literally everybody else running this game right now. Like they had not streamed a single run up to that point. They had clearly just been in like in the lab, you know, they had been working on that shit.
Trying to find 0 to 60.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, that's just mundane. They're doing that everywhere now, all over the place. And it's been really cool to see like some old routes that ended up being slower and getting replaced by something come back because they find ways to make them faster. Like I hinted at the vegan route stuff, and I think that's just really fun and cool. Like the more ways they can eliminate cutscene moons from the game, even though the cutscene moons still have platforming to get to them and are still very fast, I just think that gives you more of that platforming skill happening all over. It's still just amazing. I still just the speedrun is extremely cool. Even with like the out of bounds they're doing and stuff.
Yes.
I think a lot of them are hard, but like they don't seem like impossible things, and they're also very easy to follow. Mm-hmm. Like there used to be, and this might still get used in some other categories, but there's like a clip into the inverted pyramid, for example, in Sand Kingdom, which we didn't even see the inverted pyramid basically.
Yeah.
There's a clip into that used to be like, oh, it was like really hard on this patch and like really easy on this patch. And then on this other one, it became easier. I think on the latest one, it got easier or something. And it's like, it's still a big pain in the ass. You're like slide on this wall and then like do this roll on the buttons to like do a bunch of actions at once. None of those are in any percent. Like the hard clips and stuff or the hard out of bounds still don't seem quite as bad as stuff like that.
Still a pain in the ass to do, but just more consistent.
Yeah, and stringing it all together is like the hard part, right? And
I think the out of bounds was something new I hadn't seen, and something that had gotten patched out was getting past the Sphinx, and now they just get out of bounds in a completely different way and pick up both of the pain in the ass moons with the quicksand where you have to like sink all the way down and run into the thing, which has had different kinds of weird ways to get to it in the past. And these were both, they just sweep both of those up out of bounds and was like, okay. Yeah. If we see some coins then, back there, maybe, but I don't think they meant for that to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. And with all of the like records we've watched on this show, you can always notice a few mistakes here and there, a bonk here, a bonk there, like a failed jump there, stuff like that, or some extra damage. And I always like seeing that because I love seeing the forever evolving nature of speedrunning. Like there are always more improvements to be found. There's always more optimization. Somebody can always do it better. But like I clocked 2 to 3 mistakes total, one of which I would say is practically out of the runner's control and not even really a mistake, which was taking damage in the Mecha Wiggler fight. That is like to prevent taking damage, you would have to shoot a fireball in the situation they were in, which would probably have been slower than just taking the damage. So like that's not even really a mistake.
Yeah.
And there was a weird thing with the forks in Luncheon that I think was them making a slight mistake, but it also just might be something I'm not like sure what they were doing. And like, that's it. I'm like, holy crap. Like those are all of the mistakes in this hour long run of an absurdly difficult and like optimized game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I thought I saw one in Wooded, but like they could have just
I'm not sure. They could have just, right. That could have been normal. Like, I thought I saw them have to turn back real quick for, you know, lose a second, but could not have been. Maybe they're waiting for Cappy.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
And they all sound so minimal because you said they're so hard to clock that they probably even weren't that huge of time losses. Like, we're probably talking second, like a few seconds versus, you know,
20, 30 if plus. That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a second. Like, are you talking about in the uproot section, the little like maze section, Luigi?
No, it was, it was real quick. They flew in out of nowhere, landed there, kind of did an about fit. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know how to describe
it.
Okay,
gotcha. All good. I was like, because I saw something there and I was like, that wasn't a mistake for sure. But yeah, it's just, it was really cool seeing somebody string all this shit together. And I've been watching a bunch of runs, so I knew about a lot of it, but like there were still things surprising me in that run too, which was really fun.
Yeah, I will say, incredible run. The mechanics, insane. The runner has such incredible command of Mario. I do have one qualm.
I know what it's going to be, and very fair.
I think it's justified, Hobbs, but I appreciated your commentary about it. So everyone here told me that, you know, so much of the movement relies on the runner wiggling the controllers like crazy. And Jesus Christ, do I want to see the camera on a runner who is playing this game? So we found out very quickly that the world record holder of this game did not have a camera on. So we didn't get to see any of that. But I think Hobbs could tell that I was like, oh, that seems sad. Yeah. I want to watch another run of this. And was telling me every time that he was doing some, or they were doing some kind of movement, that you have to jiggle the controllers crazily at, just so I could picture it the entire time we were watching the run. Because that just made it so much more amusing to me.
I'm trying to find the next highest time that has a webcam.
Yes, please.
Just to send you.
So please send it to me. I need to watch it later.
Yeah, now, we needed Hobbs Joy-Con check-ins.
Has anyone gone in and made a controller that they just added extra buttons to that would replicate the shake? Like you could just map it to a button? Is that something that people have done? Because
I don't know.
That seems very feasible and something that people would want to do. Personally, I came in expecting this run to blow my mind. And Hobbs, you were saying all these beautiful words, and I'm just sitting there watching Mario, and I'm just getting lost in the movement. It's the movement is like watching a professional skateboarder just string crazy tricks together, and there's not a lot of downtime. Sometimes a run, you might have a moment to breathe, and this one, every time Mario is moving, it is so deliberate, and there's so much, so many crazy button inputs on every jump. To jump, throw your hat, call it back, bounce off of that, do another one, wall jump off of that. It's so many combos, and it's beautiful watching the lines they put together, the precision jumping. I got what I expected with this run, and that was to be incredibly impressed.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love about it is, like, I was there to explain, like, tech stuff, right? This run is still, like, beautiful if I'm not there explaining that and you're just hearing gameplay. Like, it's still mesmerizing, especially like when you have the context of knowing which things they are skipping or which walls are, like, I tried to climb up that, you can't do that, like, you know, that kind of thing. Which obviously, like, Ruby, you wouldn't quite have that same context, but even then you could probably tell with a whole lot of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, so this is one of the things I love about it. And Brad, I think you put it beautifully of just there. Not only is there no downtime, but I feel like there is a difference. And this is the way I always define it to friends, but go with me here. I feel like there's a difference between a speedrun you practice and a speedrun you rehearse. Because one, yes, you're practicing, you know, basic tech and this, that, and the other. But I feel like rehearsal of a speedrun is one where every single thing needs to be timed so specifically. So I loved seeing this at the beginning of the run when he had the countdown timer, or they had the countdown timer. showing exactly when they need to change the time zone and make sure that at that 6:30 mark, they perfectly timed out. So when they were getting the moon in the shop, they could go outside and get the next moon from the seed they had planted. Like getting the timing down to that level of specificity of everything has its own rhythm to it is just absolutely next level to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. Yeah.
And like, we saw pretty early on the waterfall skip or dino skip. And like, we didn't know we were going to see it. Hobbs, you started to give the, to just describe it as like, there used to be this crazy thing.
Yeah, because they got the first moon and the whole point of doing it was like, you could skip the first moon with it and like also go up, you know, up here. But like, I guess it was still just you have to get that first moon or it was faster to get it or something. And it was still faster to go do that instead of taking the dino up the trampoline.
And like in this route now, like even if we didn't have that, like that crazy waterfall, like the first time someone found the way to get all the way up that it was insane. It was like, no, this game is amazing. Even if we didn't have that, this whole run is just a bunch of dino skips now. There are so many spots in like Luncheon Kingdom and just like, how are you doing that? it's incredible. Yeah.
I had to go down 11 places, but I found someone with a webcam for Ruby to check out later. Unfortunately, you can't see the controller, but you can see them just silently like vibrating. They're not silently if you don't have it muted, but they're just sitting there like vibrating at the beginning of the game, shaking Mario. That's really when you could tell if you hear somebody talking while they're doing it and they're talking and you can like tell that they're
and
shaking.
You can tell that they're shaking the controller. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm delighted to watch this later. Can't wait. Also, the first time I was exposed to the speed run of this, I straight up had forgotten that this game had a two-player mode. But when I was at ESA last year, in just like the practice room, there were two-player Super Mario Odyssey runners that were just casually playing it. And I just sat there going, I don't understand what is happening, but it's real cool. And hearing the banter between them as they went, not only for sync, but I feel like for co-op speed runs, this is another thing I've really fallen in love with, is there are some where I feel like you can't have quite as much fun with it. It's just about exact timing, and other times it's a mix of that coordination and play, and these speedrunners absolutely had that. So it seems like a really fun one for two players as well. And I'm wondering, I know you had mentioned that previously two player was faster, and now it seems like it's the one player, but I'm wondering if that's a legitimately one is just slower than the other, or if it's just the two player hasn't been optimized to that level yet and people just haven't gotten there.
I don't know. I'm a little surprised because I thought, and maybe I'm just misremembering, maybe I'm just wrong, because Super Mario Galaxy or Galaxy 2, one of the two or maybe both, has the same thing where like one player versus two player is like kind of gone back and forth and stuff. And so maybe I'm getting it mixed up, but I'm pretty sure two player was faster at some point and doesn't appear to be, at least at the moment. But you may be right. Yeah, it may just be that like they haven't sat down and grinded it quite as hard. I know that for some categories and some like category extension, miscellaneous categories and stuff, you have to do them in two player at some points in order to like do certain skips. Like I believe minimum capture has to use two player. And then there's even like an assist mode in the game that you normally can't use for like any percent and stuff. I think that might be banned. But some categories can like end up skipping more things because of like the assist mode features as well. So there are really a lot of extremely good categories for this game, including some of the like more miscellaneous or category extension ones. Cause they just, I think personally, the reason to like create a miscellaneous category is not I had this funny idea for a thing, but like this lets us see completely different parts of this game or completely different skips in this game or different tech.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that the two player time, it's almost identical to the second fastest one player time for any percent. Because before Tyron 18 had it, it was 57 minutes and 34 seconds. And the current world record for two players is just 3 seconds longer than that. And also fun to note, Also fun to note on the two-player times, half of them are two different players listed, and the other half are just one player playing two-player.
Yeah. Yep, they're playing the second controller with their feet, probably.
Oh, which I like that.
I can't imagine doing a speed run with your feet or, like, doing the... Just, I'm imagining the shot of the hacker who just is typing on multiple keyboards, but doing a speed run with multiple hands. Yeah. I'm in. Like, that's wild to me.
I mentioned... I coyly said to Hobbs, like, "Hey, Hobbs, how did such and such dram get named?" I got, you know, cut off, but by my own tech. But dram is like a Kaizo designer, like right. Dram World and stuff.
That's what it was. Yeah, I was trying to remember.
So at some point, very early on in this game, someone found a crazy skip. You know, wouldn't be the last time. And I believe Dram was just like, yeah, just don't name it after me. Because lots of skips get named after Dram. And so there are tons and tons of skips in this game named after Dram for no reason other than to, you know, go against what Dram says.
To troll Dram, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. To note, Tyron 18 also is the world record holder of the darker side category, which I would say that the two most popular categories probably. I don't know if this is true in I think in number of runs they might not be, but in terms of, like, I think notoriety around the game, I'd say that the two most popular categories are any percent and darker side, because darker side is the name of a kingdom that you only unlock after collecting 500 moons. And then you have to go through this extremely challenging gauntlet, like platforming gauntlet at the end of it.
That's cool.
In order to get one more, like, multi-moon, so to get three more moons.
What's the time difference between those two?
Isn't there a dark side and... Sorry, go ahead.
There is a dark side and a darker side. But dark side is not quite as interesting because it's more of a boss rush or kingdom. Darker side is just barely under 3 hours as of Tyron. It is 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 51 seconds. They're the only one to hold sub 3 and by 4 minutes over the next person. So it's like unbelievable.
Wow.
But yeah, it is. Darker side is a completely different beast that is also extremely cool, because the beginning of it is kind of not, like, too dissimilar from any percent, other than you're going to do a little bit more setting yourself up for later. And the end of it turns into, like, okay, you beat the any percent part, you get to post game, you unlock way more moons in all the kingdoms, and you also use, rather than the Odyssey to travel between things, there are paintings that we talked about during it that travel between worlds. And so your routing is to avoid dumping moons into the Odyssey as many times as possible. Like, you want to do that as few times as possible. So, you know that little counter in the top left that was showing, like, how many moons they had at any given time? That thing has a limit to how many it will show, and you'll find out what that limit is in Darker Side.
It'll because just stop.
They stack so many moons to the point where, like, when it's time to dump them into the Odyssey, you can, like, stand up and stretch.
Yeah, that's the break.
Oh, my God.
Because you do have to sit there and watch them. And, like, it's the same amount of time no matter how many times you do it, except for... The Odyssey between levels would take way longer. And so the way that they do it, they only go in there and dump all, like, what, hundreds of them at once.
Yeah, hundreds of them at once for sure at the end. And it's the time of traversing with the Odyssey, but also the time it would take the little balloon to expand and show the new number.
Every time
you do it, like, you would have to see another one of those. But for the most part, it's just like it doesn't save a ridiculous amount of time, but it is an extremely cool thing about it. And it ends up with this very satisfying moment, too.
Because it is something that you kind of wanted to do when you were playing through the game the first time. Yeah. It's like, oh, I wonder if I could just dump, like, 50 moons at once. Like, that would be crazy. And then you see someone do it at, like, the fullest extent possible.
Yeah. And on top of that, there's also, like, Toadette is in the game and has achievement moons for you to do. So, like, if you do various tasks in the game, like, she'll give you a moon for it. And so there's routing, and this is extremely important in all moons, but in, like, Darker Side, this is cool routing as well, where, like, oh, I'm doing this boss fight right now in Ruined Kingdom. I need to reach like 500 cap throws. So I'm going to sit here and like spam my cap against the boss so I can keep throwing it, you know, or like, oh, I'm waiting on this like path to reveal in front of me. I'm going to go stand underneath this block and jump a bunch of times because I need to jump 2000 times or something like that. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm picking them up out of my head, but.
Oh, I'm playing jumpless. Well, then I need to not ever jump.
Yeah. Super Mario Jumpless sounds like the most torturous category possible.
You can do it in Odyssey. It is possible to jump without making the jump counter. You can beat it keeping the counter in the menu at zero.
Yeah, because you do things like, I think, like fall off an edge and bounce off Cappy or something like that, or like that. It's people online have love doing these, like, can you beat Super Mario Odyssey with no jumps? Can you beat like SM64 without collecting a coin? Things like that.
It sounds as amazing and bonkers as the double A press video.
Yeah, or like the half A press.
Yeah, half A press. Thank you.
yeah. Thankfully, no parallel universes are required for jumpless. But
we don't know. We may not have gotten to that point in this game's code yet. It took decades to find parallel universes.
Only time will tell.
That is true. But yeah, I highly recommend checking out a Darker Side run sometime when you've got like 3 hours to kill, or like just throw it up on in the background while you're watching something else, especially because like the first hour of it, like you could go through that and not like and just see kind of the newer stuff at the end compared to any percent. And then All Moons, it's an all-day endeavor. It's like a 7 hour category, but like it's still the kind of ridiculous shit they pull in that is very absurd.
You will get to see all those, like every single little tiny cutaway area with two moons in it, or that big one at the end that they skipped entirely by doing that. Like it, I feel like did you ever have someone tell you in Mario 64 that you can like wall jump your way up the side and see Yoshi early?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I bet like maybe someone could do that, but that's like I tried, man, and it no. I feel like that skip in the moon at the very end is like that that just entire concept coming into like, you know, actually becoming real because they just kind of boop 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 all the way up that wall.
And what's funny is that is one of the oldest skips in this game. Like moon cave skip was found like day one or something. It was like very, very quickly it was found. And it was not the method we saw in the record. I've never seen that method before,
no.
But it was very similar. It was just that you had to find like these two spots in geometry that you could end up getting like a wall jump because the walls were just considered like angled in just the right way where you could still get a jump off of each one. And I remember just there's like a screenshot going around that like circles this like one little terrain, like piece of terrain. It's like it makes a backwards L here and you got to jump here. And like everybody and their mother had seen that screenshot while you were speedrunning this game at the beginning, because that's the same thing everyone would link and send to the next person having trouble with it. And now they don't even do it that way.
It's funny because you're right. That part is routed, like it has different routes.
Yeah.
It looks like the reason that they found a different way was because they wanted to, at the end, they did something even more insane to set them up to be on the pathway to the castle.
Yeah, it just let them skip a little bit of floating in the air to get to the opposite wall.
Yeah.
Instead, they could just go straight up and then do like a side flip or something or back to just jump the gap and get up onto the path. It was
half a second of floatiness or something.
Yep.
But like it looked insane. It was completely different at the end.
It was very cool.
God, I know for a fact I'm going to be watching another Super Mario Odyssey run very, very close in my future because, Jesus Christ, I need to see the motion controls. We highly encourage you all to do the same. The world record run was a friggin' blast to watch here tonight. But I think that is going to about wrap up our show for tonight. So
throw out there.
Geez.
Would everyone like to take a guess at how many runs are on the leaderboard for any percent?
Oh God. Yeah.
Noting that it's very possible that at some point they had to like, you know, wipe boards because of a patch or something. I don't think they ever did, but maybe. And this is talking just one player here.
I'm not going to guess because I just looked.
Okay. You just looked.
I've seen that it goes to many pages.
I am going to guess 700.
Okay. And Luigi, what is your guess?
701.
Oh,
Price is Right rules. All right. What if I told you 714 is the number after 3,000?
What?
3,714 runs have been verified for this leaderboard.
Holy shit.
Yeah. This game is pretty much the reason why they had to finally like make sure that the speedrun.com only loads 200 runs at a time because every time you would go try to load the Super Mario Odyssey page, it would like crash the servers.
That's insane. Oh my God.
Yeah. If you've ever visited really speedrun.com cool, and it's been like, oops, we ran into an issue, like, which it used to happen all the time. My joke was always, oh, I guess two people tried to load the Odyssey board at the same time.
I don't think I've ever seen a board that active outside of like Subway Surfers when we talked about
it. It's like this, like a couple Roblox things, Minecraft, Super Mario 64, and like Subway Surfers. And that's like the biggest boards.
God, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Please, everyone go check out the speedrun.com board for this run. That is insane. I really want to look at what some of the longest and shortest times are. Sometimes that's fun for me.
Watch all 3,714.
Watch every one of them from us to you. That is our advice.
This is our gift.
Speedruns go fast. We take it slow.
I just entered some of your names into speedrun.com to see what you guys have been uploading. Ruby, I didn't know you were a world record holder in Overcooked 2.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. So, Sunbro Jade, Trace, and I are the trio's world record holders. And for duos, Jade and I currently have fourth. And I think we're only within 2 or 3 minutes of world record. Nice. There is also a newer category. We finally got like really active mods on the board, which for a while wasn't the case. So Jade, Trace, and I submitted all Hangry Horde levels for the DLC Night of the Hangry Horde for GDQ. So fingers crossed that gets in. I really hope so. But it's basically Overcooked, but without the timers. And they just added it as a category. So I'm hoping to take those world records at the start too.
Yeah, no, I love Overcooked, so that's very exciting.
It's so much fun.
My Odyssey time, because now you got me curious, Brad. My Odyssey time is 2,342nd
on the boards. That's pretty good.
My time is 1 hour, 25 minutes, and 43 seconds. That's the thing. I'm within a half hour of world record, right? Like, that's like a half hour is a lot, but also it's not that much of some games. Like, I might go submit to some thing and I'm like 2 hours off record and it's like, yeah, you got 11th. You know, it's in Odyssey. No, that's 2,300th because a lot of people have taken it seriously. It's just
you're third place in a fragmentary passage, though.
I am specifically, I think, on the PS5 leaderboards.
Yeah.
For that one, I'm second place in Journey to the Center of Hawkthorne, which I used to hold record in, and I'm third in the Vine Jump minigame for Kingdom Hearts, which was my longest standing record for a very long time.
Journey to the Center of Hawk. Did someone make the community video game into a video game?
What? They did, and it's glorious, and I held record in it for a while because I had to. I was like, I got it. I got to go do this. I think I might still have all quests record, but I don't know if I ever got it added as a category on the board.
I got to go find that.
I've still never had a, like, this game, like the main category of this game, you have the world record in, but the like Overcooked was my first, which was really exciting. But like for Shadow of the Colossus, I have a bunch of like category extension world records.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. For me, it's either it's got to be really obscure or it's got to be nobody. Absolutely nobody runs it.
And we got to do another shout out to Luigi's apartment. World record holder for most goals in Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey.
Yeah. Holding strong.
Yeah.
What was that, 16?
And I have the record for the only person on this podcast that doesn't have anything submitted to speedrun.com. That's a record I will jealously guard.
Well, very nice. You have a lot of really other incredible things going on, Brad, outside of having SRC times. So, yeah, hey, where else can we find you if people want to find you on the internet?
If y'all can't get enough of me, check out Hair of the Dogcast. Dogcast is one word. We're on all the major podcast apps. Check it out, Video Games and Beer. We have a whole Elden Ring series. That's great. And yeah, I just like talking about video games with my homies. And so check it out. Check it out if you'd like. At Hot Dogcast on Twitter. I am also Loaf of White Brad. But yeah, I'm just check it out. I'd love to have you join us over there as well if you have time.
Heck yeah. Multi-world record holder and in the 2000s of Super Mario Odyssey, Jay Hobbs, where can people find you?
Yeah, no world records anymore, though. I gotta find a new thing and come back and take something. I'm Jay Hobbs on J_Hobbs on Twitter, JHobbs296 on Twitch. If you don't remember those, just Google Jay Hobbs, and I think I'm the top couple. And my speedrun.com profile usually shows up, too, so you can check out runs I've done. I wish I were better about submitting all my runs, because I've done way more than what's on the board, but I'm glad I finally submitted some more Kingdom Hearts stuff recently. Looking forward to SGDQ. Should be super fun. You can catch me there as well. That about does all things. I'm going to do a full Kingdom Hearts series run that I've been saying I'm going to do for like months. Very soon, finally, probably.
Yeah. Oh, nice. My God. Please let us know when that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe before this podcast, this episode even comes out, if I can get my shit together. We'll see.
Yes. And Luigi, where can people find you and your wonderful voice?
You can go to luigisapartment.com. And also listen to Chat of the Wild, because it seems like every couple of weeks we have to record another "Oh my God, did you see that trailer?" episode, because they just keep giving us more. Oh man, I cannot wait to play that game, but I have to wait another month or so, and then we'll be making episodes on Chat of the Wild about that game. So that'll be fun. And then go listen to Remember 64. It's a great show about the 64.
Heck yeah. And I am Ruby Hart. I'm your final host. You can find me at twitch.tv/RubyHart. So that is RubieHart. I am a actor speedrunner streamer. Right now I've been putting so much time into Titan Souls and Solar Ash because I've just decided that Giant Slayer is now my brand. And I'm trying to do more Shadow of the Colossus runs again. This Saturday, I'm actually going to be participating in a marathon called Corathon and doing Shadow of the Colossus. So I need to get that rust off. Doing NTA Boss Rush Random. So the same category I ran at SGDQ last year. Like I said, I've applied for volunteer positions. So in some way, shape, or form, I will be there for GDQ. So really looking forward to that. Yeah. And
I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, it's like riding an old giant hammer all the way into the sky and grabbing onto a giant. You never lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's me. I do Let's Plays. I do speed runs of many different games. And I think that's going to be it for Need for Speed Running. But from us to you, whether you are speedrunning using a cap and jumps or just a controller and some faith, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for hanging out with us and keep going fast.
Only those who are worthy can open the bottle of beer.
Boop, 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 boop.
We may be joined on and off by Luigi's underscore, weight scene loading apartment. Unfortunately, he's experiencing some internet difficulties.
The new apartment does not have great internet, so I am here as much as possible. Yes, hooray.
And I heard some of that.
Those were words. We got some of them.
It'll sound fine in post. That's what matters.
That's what matters.
So to catch...
That's the important part.
To catch everyone up listening, we've had minor technical difficulties.